And off we go. Okay, thanks everyone for showing up. Happy Friday. This is, I believe, I've lost count. It's only been like, I can only count to five, apparently. This is either the fifth or sixth installment of this call of our OMS Tech Fridays here. So if this is your first time, awesome. Thanks for coming. If this is your repeat customer, welcome back. So today, our focus area is going to be something that I covered in the first call, which is Azure Site Recovery, but more from the perspective of what's coming very soon. As you may be aware, we are very, very soon we'll be releasing what's in public preview today of the new and improved Azure Site Recovery Vault, named the Recovery Services Vault. So that'll be our focus for the bulk of the call today. So a couple of things before we get started here. Again, welcome. This call is open to everybody, and because of that, we just want to make sure that there's internal folks on Microsoft here, there's partners that are, and even customers that may be privy to NDA information, all that stuff. This is not a format for that because it is an open call. So obviously, those conversations would have to come offline if they so happen. So if you ask a question that may be NDA, we're not trying to be rude. It might be just something we can't discuss on this type of forum. So keep that in mind. Questions in the IM window is probably the best to go about this. We got about 65 attendees. Typically, I tend to get north of 100 of this call, but we might open it up for audio questions. But the best way to go is through IM. I'm not sure. I believe there's a few Microsoft folks. So if you, Microsoft or partners, or if you've got an answer to a question, feel free to use the forum to help yourselves to both questions and answers. I may be solo, so as I'm talking, it's hard for me to check the queue, but I will try to pause as we go through here to answer maybe some open-ended questions. And if not, I will try to take those offline if you give me an email or something to contact you back with. These sessions are recorded. We'll post all the materials as always to aka.ms/OMSFridays. There actually is, I updated the blog as well, just FYI. I do have a Channel 9 channel, which is a little easier. It gives you the thumbnails of the recording, so it's maybe a little easier place to go on our Channel 9 site to check that out. Unfortunately, I forgot to put the link in here, but that is also at the OMS Tech Fridays Azure.com blog site as well. Okay. So what we're going to cover today, as always, I want to spin and go through this very quickly. It is a repeat. So for the user on the call, I apologize. The first 5 minutes, as you know, or maybe up to 10 minutes, I'll try to keep it more to five for this particular call because I want to get through the walkthrough. But we'll just go over what is this thing called Operations Managed Suite, why we're here, what technologies it includes. We want to spend the bulk of the time here today discussing what used to be referred to, still is, ASR, Azure Site Recovery. The wonderful Azure solution that allows you to do disaster recovery, planned, unplanned, and test failover type of capabilities. But I want to do a walkthrough, which is now in public preview and renamed slightly to Recovery Services or the Recovery Services Vault. So I'm going to do a walkthrough of that, and I'm going to do it kind of cooking show style. So I want to essentially, just for those that have not had a chance to look at this is what I'm going to show you is available. If you have an Azure subscription, you can do exactly what I'm going to show you here in this hour, but essentially show you from the perspective of just creating the vault, setting up the vault, and specifically the scenario of protecting VMware. So creating the process server, discovering your ESX server, actually protecting something, creating replication policies, showing you recovery plans, that type of thing. So I'm prepared to do that today. We'll do it kind of, like I said, cooking show styles, like I like to call it. So we'll have process servers in various stages and different vaults so that we don't have to sit here and stare at 20 minutes of an install happening, for example. And then we'll have Q&A. And again, I will try to, yes, Dwayne, that's right, Gordon Ramsay Sullivan. I will try to answer questions as we go as best I can. And again, if there's anybody inclined that is knowledgeable, feel free to also answer, help me out here in the chat window as well. Okay, so let's get started. So what is Operations Management Suite? So OMS or Operations Management Suite, there are really kind of four things that I from a very ultra high level, I like people to think about when they think about OMS, or what I think people should think about. And that is, this is a suite of solutions. This is very much like how we've done things in the past, such as System Center as a suite, which contains Operations Manager and Data Protection Manager and Config Man and Service Manager and a VMM, et cetera. So it's a suite of solutions. It's unique from, say, a System Center suite or Office suite in that in the past, those are packaged software, commercial software that you buy from Microsoft. OMS is born in the cloud type of services, but it is a suite. So there are solutions within the suite that can be used on their own, but they all absolutely can be integrated as well. The second thing I like to point out is, yeah, this is a platform that addresses key areas of systems management. So it's aptly named. It's a management suite. And then the question becomes, well, how do you defer? What's the difference between System Center? And the short answer is, it's complementary to System Center. And solutions in the suite that don't necessarily need to have System Center, but if System Center is there, a lot of times it's an added function or an added capability there as a number two. Number three, it's ever evolving. And this is true of really anything you find in general from a cloud perspective. The rate of change and the features that we're able to add and capabilities we're able to add to, typically in traditional software models, which would take, the next major rev might take 6 months to a year or so. We're doing within weeks and months. So it is ever evolving and very rapidly evolving, simply because of the nature of these cloud services, at least the services that make up the OMS, the Operations Management Suite today. And then lastly, it is born in the cloud. And what's interesting about this, what sets OMS apart from, say, other things such as big data stuff within Azure or Azure websites and storage and things that are pretty cloudy, if you will, that they exist in the cloud and they're great for cloud and all that stuff. OMS is really purposely built to bridge between what some people might call the traditional or the hybrid model that we find ourselves into these days. So traditional data centers, we still have them. We'll still have them for more or less years to come. And how do we, what can we use between that and what we can do in the cloud? Operations Management Suite offers a lot of hybrid capabilities to bridge and bring a holistic management story together. And so those are the four things that represent OMS from a high level. If we look at, from a capability perspective, and I mentioned this just a few minutes ago, which is, yeah, there's this notion that OMS can be packaged, and we, from a licensing perspective, we acquire this. There are options that we have that, hey, if I'm a System Center customer today, I can add OMS and get like maybe a good package of commitment of all the OMS technologies bundled into one. But I want to make sure that we understand that that doesn't limit you. That is, well, I don't really use System Center, so OMS is not for me. That is absolutely not the case. It can be used with or without System Center. We certainly do augment System Center environments if you choose to have those or continue to have those or have them as well as OMS. But it's certainly not a gating factor, at least from the technologies and the capabilities you get from what's within System Center. It's also not limited to Azure only. Yes, absolutely. And I want to make sure I'm clear on this. Azure is a big part of it. That is, things within OMS are born in Azure. So there is an Azure requirement that that's where these services live and maintain and where you obtain them. However, we can use the various technologies within Azure to manage things that might be in another cloud, such as Amazon, or maybe into a traditional hoster, and of course your traditional data center as well. And so we get to what is the current solution set, right? Very high level, it's just management stuff. So what is it exactly that you get with when people say, hey, I've got OMS? Well, what is it they should be referring to? Well, today there's kind of four areas which we focus on. And again, this is ever evolving too. 3 to 6 months from now, there might be a fifth or a sixth area added to this, or there might be other capabilities with under this. So tactically, what we offer today from an analytics perspective is aptly named something called Log Analytics. And we had a call, I believe the second to last call, I brought in a resource and dove in on what Log Analytics gives us. This was formally named Operational Insights for those that have kind of followed along with how this thing evolved. But to think of it as an analytics dashboard, a very Splunk-like experience that can bring in all of this rich data, management data, log data, performance data across all systems, on-premises, in the cloud, in a hoster, what have you, and brings this into a workspace for analysis to give you very rich information about best practice guidance, things that you should pay attention to, some very interesting correlations and solutions around that. And so we call that log analytics is for the first part of the suite. The second part is this thing called Azure Automation. And so Azure Automation, if you're a System Center customer, yes, we introduced several years ago something called System Center Orchestrator. And so Orchestrator gave us this ability to do what we call runbook workflow. So it's essentially a way to say, hey, I want to do this process. Maybe it's a mundane task and something that has to be repeatable. And I don't want humans involved necessarily. I want to make this as error-free as possible from human error. And so I want to automate that. So Azure Automation is actually a way in which we can have a secured repository of runbook processes, which we in the cloud, in Azure in this case, but I can execute automated tasks, workflow tasks securely, whether the components are in Azure, whether they're in Amazon, or whether they're down in our on-premises environment. And I can do so securely within a very structured management way. And that's Azure Automation. And then third to that is really kind of two products, which are kind of being combined in this recovery services vault, which we'll talk about today and see today, which is around Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup. So Azure Site Recovery for disaster recovery and Azure Backup for, well, backup. And so Recovery Services Vault here moving forward, essentially we'll provide that and also as part of the OMS story. And then finally, security. And security is an interesting one because there's bits and pieces of this throughout. And specifically in log analytics today, there are certain solution sets such as wire data solution, as well as security and audit. Solution Gallery and others that we're bringing threat intelligence and all of those types of things within the log analysis and correlation workspace of log analytics. And so that is in and of itself a very important aspect and something that we provide through the OMS suite. So it's log analytics, Azure Automation, Azure Site Recovery, Azure Backup today, as far as the actual services that make up the operations management suite right now today. Okay. So it's simple, it's time valid, it's easy to integrate, it's all of these great things, right? And I just want to make sure that, you know, we understand that, you know, there's an asterisk by certain things, like, well, of course there's some infrastructure, there's some things we got to do, but certainly not to what we're used to, right? So when we implement a system such as a service with an OMS, a lot of the abstraction and the ugliness or the complexity of what needs to be put in place, well, it's in the cloud, right? So it's more of a service versus a bunch of servers that I have to maintain and install and implement. We take care, so we make it simpler for consumption to hopefully bring immediate value to it. And then finally, again, an extension of System Center, although System Center is not a gating factor in any sense. It can be used with or without. With System Center, yes, we can complement. Without it, we can still get value as well. Okay. Roadmap is, again, ever evolving through this as well. And so, you know, this is just a snapshot of a very short list, a snapshot of where we've been and where we're going on the horizon as far as releasing more and more things within that OMS suite across those four solutions that I just put in front of you a second ago. Okay, so enough with that. Let's dig right into the walkthrough. And again, this will be cooking show style as best I can. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to present out my main desktop here. Give me 1 second. Hopefully I picked the right monitor today. And if you're not seeing it now, you should be seeing a screen here in a few moments. And so where I'm starting today is starting in one of my Azure subscriptions. So what you're looking at is the newborn ARM portal that we have with Azure. So if you have an Azure subscription, this should look fairly familiar with you. This is the what's also referred to as the Ibiza portal. And so like a lot of things within Azure, the way I would start is I would have to essentially create one of the many services Azure provides. So if I click on browse here, and again, where a lot of people get screwed up prior is, hey, well, where is this new thing, right? So Site Recovery Vaults is actually the current, right? So this will send you actually back to the old ASM portal, the current implementation of what we have. What we want to look at, which again is in public preview, as you can see it's named preview, is I want to create a new recovery services vault. Now, what I'm doing is obviously it sent me because I already have a few of these. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and act like I'm going to add a new one. So I'm going to go ahead and click new here. And once I go here, I'm going to create a new vault. We'll call it OMS Tech Fry. Let's call it 004. I don't believe I have something named there. If I have one or more subscriptions, I tell it where to go. And everything in Azure has this concept of a resource group. A resource group's more for RBAC security, right? I can have resource groups for various different things and then give people access or not give access. So we'll go ahead and create a new one. We'll just call it the same as the vault name. And let me correct my misspelling up the top here. We'll call it there. And then we got to pick a location. And the location is important because we have to pick a region where our destination for where these servers, in this case, since we're doing DR, we have to say, oh, okay, well, do we have virtual networks and Azure VMs and storage already established in a region? And it's very important that we marry that same region for what we have with our vault, because it has, if I have a vault in West, I can only replicate and fail over to West stuff. I can't fail over to East unless the vault's in East, et cetera. So I'm going to go ahead and pick West because I already have some established infrastructure, such as some VNets and storage to take care of in West. So that will save me some work, if you will. So this should take, shouldn't take more than maybe it's several seconds here. As you can see, deployment succeeded. So when I refresh my vault list, we should have a new one, and it is right here. So 004 is the one I just created. So if I walk into this vault, you'll get this pretty picture of, hey, welcome to your vault. Here's all the information about this vault. And essentially, it's very pretty, but at this point in time, well, there's not really much going on, right? Lots of zeros. I don't have anything replicating on your recovery plan. So I have to get started, get busy doing something. On the right, the settings blade will appear. And where we want to start is aptly named the Getting Started section. So if we click through for site recovery for the recovery services vault, we start down the path. Now, these blades will walk you through a lot of basically trying to breadcrumb you, if you will, into what you have to do next. So, for example, in this specific case, notice that I can do from site to Azure, from site to site, et cetera. But today I want to do from site to Azure, right? Because I want to, in my particular scenario for this walkthrough, I'm going to do probably one of the most complex, although it's not very complex, but probably the one that has the most steps in it, and that is protecting on-premises VMware VMs physical servers towards Azure. So my scenario is from site to Azure, and notice that I can pick, well, in my VMM, my Hyper-V shop, et cetera. Well, I'm a vCenter shop, so I'm going to hit OK there and see what happens. Once it does that, it'll give me the specific contextually the next steps that I need to do here. So for example, if I come in here, the next step is I got to add a server. Now, notice that when I add a server, this blade pops up. What happens is, if you've read your documentation on how this works, is we have to build a process server, what's called an on-premises configuration server, process server on our on-premises environment. And these steps basically tell you just that. You have to make sure you have a 2012 R2 server on the ready. We've got to download the bits. And number three is probably the most important is, you have to download a Vault registration key, because when you set up the actual configuration server, one of the pieces of information it's going to ask you for is, hey, what's your Vault registration key? And that registration key will do two things. Number one is it's a secure to basically prove you are who you say you are, and you marry that process server up with your specific vault. And then the second thing it does is it registers with that vault. So essentially, the setup is fairly simple. So for example, I'm going to go ahead and download. This is just a vault credentials file. It's just a simple text file. I'm going to go ahead and save it off here onto this local server. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to minimize my portal. Now, I happen to be strategically logged into this server that I'm going to make my process server. So you notice I'm logged in to VMW CSPS 004. And so this server is nothing more than a Windows 2012 R2 server. that I'm going to make into my system. Now, for sake of time, I've already, you notice that one of the steps is, hey, go download the unified agent bits. And that's about 500 meg in size. I've already done that for sake of time. So since it's already locally installed, or not installed, but downloaded to my machine, I'm going to go ahead and run the unified installer. So this will take a few moments. And so notice that, again, very, very easy. It's going to walk me through setting up the unified setup of this configuration server. So yes, this is installing the configuration server and process server. It's a brand new server. We do use MySQL still with the process server. So we handle the installation and configuration of that for you as well. The next is it checks to make sure, hey, do you have internet connectivity from this guy? Because the process server does need to talk to the vault, and typically that's over public internet, might be over express route public peer, but there's also reasons to talk to download MySQL and maybe some other bits that's needed for the install. So it's just verifying I have this. If not, I can walk it through a custom proxy if needed in my particular environment. Hit next there. It's going to run through some prereqs to make sure that, hey, there's no, you know, updates with pending reboot. Yeah, you're running R2 and you've got free space. Now, the free space requirement is if it can't find a volume that has, I think, over 300 gig in free space, it'll give you a warning to let you go. But essentially, again, there's documentation and design documentation around that. So don't freak out if it's warning. Obviously, if it figures out you don't have enough room at all, that's a big deal. So you can see the little tip here for best performance recommended 600 gig. But in my, for my case, this is for a small POC, or in this case, a small demo environment, it's just fine what I've got. The next thing is I come in here, and because we have MySQL, it requires a fairly complex password just to seal up the root of the, whoops, I forgot to make it more complex. Let's fix that and essentially give it a password. We hit next. Now, the next step is it says, hey, are you going to do VMware? Typically, yes. Now, notice that it's going to check to see if we have vSphere PowerCly, and it has to be at this moment 6.0. Not 6.3. 6.3 launched a couple weeks ago. And in fact, I've run into customers where that does not work. So make sure that you do follow the guidance that you are, in fact, have 6.0 installed, and this will verify it. Now, if I didn't have it installed, obviously I'd have to go to VMware site and I'd have to go download it, right? And I've done that already. Here's the downloader for 6.0. I've already taken the liberty for sake of time for this walkthrough, so it's already there. So I'm going to hit next. Again, it's going to pick an install location. I'm just going to let it go ahead and pick the default. If I had multiple interfaces, this is the interfaces where I'm going to allow. If this is a multi-home box, maybe I've got different networks inside my network. This is what the process server is going to use for all of that, receiving all that wonderful replication traffic from all of the virtual machines it's going to protect. So if you've got a complex environment, you want to make sure that you pick the right interface. Mine's not complex. I just have the one interface. So I'm going to hit next. Fine, almost done. Remember that registration key. So all we got to do is simply say, hey, here's this registration key. The one I downloaded for today is right here. And this is what's going to allow my process server here to securely marry itself up to the vault I had just created 5 minutes ago. So I'm going to hit next and install, and off we go. Now, this install will take, and I already have some components that were already there, so it won't take as long. If you don't have MySQL there and third party, each one of those might take a couple, 3-5 minutes themselves. So this whole process, worst case, typically will take about 15 or 20 minutes to go. So like a cooking show, we're going to let that bake and we're going to move on. So let's go back to the vault. Let me go to my portal. And so what we're going to do is we're going to open up again. We're going to go to Recovery Services Vault. Now, remember, we created 004. And right now, as we speak, that process server is being baked in there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to 005, which is a little further along, right? So at this point, assume that the setup was successful of our 004. It is successful on our 005. And now it comes to the pieces of doing the other steps within that getting started pane. So there's a couple ways to do this. The best way to do it, especially if you're first getting started, again, we would go back to that vault. We would hit the getting started pane, and then we would go back to our scenario. And then we would go back and see what is left to be done within that particular vault. So I'll give this a second to figure itself out here. And it always takes extra longer when I am doing a demo walkthrough, but that's okay. Know why that's taking. Let's go back to it's taking its sweet time on there. I apologize. Let me make sure that everything's okay here. Actually, let's do this. So while that's baking there, let me go back to this particular one and see if I can't get lucky with the blade. I may have something. I apologize. I was flipping to another machine that may be having some issues. So let me go back to this original portal pointing to the same subscription. Let's go back to site recovery. Interesting. All right. Well, oh, there we go. Just about when I was about to bail on it, they decided to wake up. So here we go. So again, remember, Site to Azure Recovery, we have to remind it, oh yeah, it's the vCenter. So hit OK there. Now, notice that again, in the 004, we're not there yet. So that's why I pointed on 005. When it comes back, you should see this after a successful configuration. So you'll see in this case, CSPS 005 is connected, it's heart beating, everything's awesome, and it's good to go. And so, what the next thing we would do once step two is complete, we would go to step three. And step three says, hey, because this is the site to Azure VMware scenario, the next step that we want to do here is to add a vCenter server. Now, I've already done that, but just to give you a taste of what this looks like, essentially, it's just a matter of essentially telling, hey, what vCenter instance do you want to look at? Now, what's interesting about this, and a little bit of a tip, especially if you're just getting started and look, maybe all you want to do is, I just have an ESXi server. I don't necessarily have vCenter or even go through vCenter. I just want to point it to a specific host. You can do that too. And this is exactly what I'm doing in this demo. And so, for example, you can see that, yes, I can have more than one config server. So I just have the one in this vault to 005. I can give the vCenter a friendly name, and then I could use the FQDN of my IP address or FQDN of my vCenter ESXi instance, what port it's selected to talk over. Oh, and this thing here. So at the end of that setup, it's going to ask you to put one or more credentials in there. And so post setup, and I'll show you when I go back on the 004 system. It will give you a dialog to where I can put in one or more accounts to use. And so this will securely give you username and credentials. You can specify multiple credentials for your how you can get into and discover your ESX vCenter environment. You also will want to put credentials in there to protect any and all Linux systems, as well as any systems that you have, such as Windows, et cetera. So I need admin, I need root credentials, so that when you go to protect, we can do so without having to actually know the password at that time. We can just basically pick the account that's securely encrypted and sitting within the recovery services vault. Okay, so I'm not going to say that. So you'll notice that I've already done this for a server I've named ESX 161. And in fact, if you look at another system in my lab, it's this particular VMware system right here. So it's just an ESX server. You can see I've got actually the process servers are sitting as VMware VMs as well, and I've got a few potential targets that are being protected. Some are being protected, some are waiting to be protected. Okay, so once we do number three, the next step is, hey, I need to give it a replication policy. So for example, if I come in here, now I've already come to the Liberty, but what we're asking for, because this is the VMware scenario, and this is a little different for if you're doing VMM or Virtual Machine Manager for Hyper-V or Hyper-V sites. So the replication policies, because we're using different technologies, there's slightly different selections to have here. So in this case, if I come in and I say, hey, I want to create a new replication policy, if you want to do both failover as well as failback, and most people do, you should and will create a minimum of two, such as you see here. So I can create a policy such as, this is for site to Azure, it's for vCenter, and this is where I set my things such as, well, how many recovery points and how long do I want to keep them? Do I want to do app consistency points? Do I want to do multi-VM consistency? And again, this is specific to the VMware protection scenario. We have the ability to line up recovery application consistent recovery points so that, say, for example, these 10 servers, I can pick the last application multi-consistent point to where they all line up at the exact same time, meaning that this server is not 20 seconds older or newer than this server when I go to recover it. So for applications where you don't want any kind of hanging cache or corruption possible, that's an important thing too. And I'd set that in my replication policy. And this one's easy to overlook, and I've done it myself a few times, which is you also want to create what we call a failback policy. And if you don't do this, what'll happen is when you fail something over and you try to fail it back, it'll give you a message saying, hey, you can't fail this back. You have no failback policy. And all that failback policy is you have to make sure you create a scenario type from Azure to my site. And that's what we usually call failback, right? Because Azure is usually the secondary target. And then if we want to fail back, I want to take whatever I fail over from Azure too. So again, we just got to set up the same thing, but make sure it's in reverse if and when we ever need to do a failback. The final step is number five here. And number five essentially says, hey, okay, so you've created at least one configuration server process server. You've discovered at least one vCenter ESX server. You've created your two replication policies, one to do fail over from site to Azure and then a fail back from Azure to site. The next thing to do is to configure what we call compute configuration of that configuration server. So all you're doing is you're taking the one or more replication policies that you've created in step four, and you're associating them with your, in this case, your one configuration server. And so this one will probably give me a blank dialog because there aren't any other replications. So it's giving me a red X, basically saying you don't really have anything else to do here because all of your replication policies are already associated with all of the compute, all the configuration servers you already have. Okay, so nothing to do here. Okay. So once we have that, let's go ahead and unsave all this. So we're still in number five, part of our cooking show here. So this guy is almost baked. Really the last thing to do here, because we've got everything done, is, well, let's actually protect something. So you'll notice that 005 here, I've done all the things ahead of time that would take several minutes here, except for let's actually protect something. So right now it's still not protecting anything. So, but if I go in here and you go to replicated items, this is where I would start to add replication. So for replication, because at the moment the vault is set up for the VMware physical server protection scenario to Azure, what it'll do is, again, walk me through kind of a breadcrumb trail of what needs to be protected. So I come in here and I say, enable this replication scenario and wait for this thing to come up. Again, we got site to Azure. Again, vCenter is because I have VMware VMs I want to protect. My one process server, I could have multiples within that same vault. Which vCenter instance or ESX server have I discovered? And where do I want to pick from? And then give me which Azure subscription. And this is kind of unique too. We can actually protect to any number of Azure subscriptions, assuming that the account you're logged into has access to these Azure subscriptions, which is kind of interesting. And then the last thing on step, the area one is, and this is important, this is kind of cool. Everything in the recovery services vault's obviously an ARM, as you see, but we actually can protect systems either to classic ASM VNets and storage or resource manager. So we do have a choice, and we did that purposely because you may be in situations where you do have a need to do a failover or a migration to legacy ASM stuff. And so we didn't want you to have to, if you wanted to cut over to the new stuff, to necessarily dump everything you've done in ASM. So we do give you the choice, even though the vault itself and all of the wonderful things in it are within ARM, we don't just, you know, cut the cord with ASM necessarily for legacy reasons. And so you can come in here, you can see these are the, if you were paying attention, these servers here should map up more or less to the servers I have within my vSphere client. You can see here I got 6 or 7 servers, and that's the one I'm discovering in this vault. And so, for example, I'm actually protecting these other ones in a different vault. So I'll error out. So I'm going to protect something that I know I'm not already protecting. If this vault had already been protecting these servers, then it would not give you this choice. But because of the demo and I'm already running this actively, so I'm kind of doing things in parallel, I've got multiple vaults hitting the same ESX host, which isn't common, but that's why you see all the solutions here. And again, I can say protect this server. And the next thing it's going to ask is, okay, well, how do you wish to protect it? And so this is where it comes to where do you actually want these things, and what storage accounts do you want to replicate to? And so, for example, it comes in here and it says, yep, I've got this server here. This happens to be a Windows server. So remember the credentials mapping. Again, I have to tell the vault, hey, when you go and try to protect this guy, I need some kind of administrative credentials for a Windows box in this case. What credentials should I use? So I've got maybe domain credentials that have the access. I've got local Windows that may have the access too. The next is storage count. So you will only see storage accounts that meet the criteria of what we can replicate to. And that criteria is the following. This is very important because a lot of people, they'll freak out because they'll see nothing here. And there's a couple of reasons for that. It will only show and manifest storage accounts that are Azure, if they're at regular non-premium Azure storage, they will only show GRS storage. So if you have LRS storage counts, if you have GRS RA, and there's like ZRS storage, none of those will show up because we require GRS blob storage for non-premium accounts. We will also show, if it's resource manager stuff, we will also show LRS premium storage because we now will support that once this releases in GA. So in this case, this West Prem one, you can take my word for it. That one is in fact a premium storage account. And that's something we weren't able to do or not able to do in the current ASR vault today. So that's important to keep in mind. In this one, I'm just going to go to one of my regular blob GRS storage accounts. Notice something else new that because this happens to be we haven't lit this up yet, but it's coming very soon, which is the ability to do selective disk, right? So we always have to replicate and protect the operating system disk, but any of the data disk underneath that guy can be ignored. And so there are certain situations I've been in with customers where they say, look, I want to protect this server, but the problem is it has a scratch drive on it and it constantly is just getting backed up. So data, the churn is ridiculous. And by the way, when I failed this guy over, I don't want anything on the scratch drive anyway. It's just taking up unnecessary churn and it's leading to network overhead that I just don't want to live with to protect it. So what do I do? Well, today you kind of have to protect it. It's all or nothing. Here very soon, you'll be able to ignore drives in that case, for example. And then finally, pick a replication policy. As you can see here, we've got RP1. So I can come in here and say, yep, let's protect that one because, again, it's only going to give me the replication policies that are destined for coming from on-premises towards Azure. And off we go. Hit OK. And you'll see that I'll have a job here that I can check in on to see where it's at in status. And so that'll take several minutes, usually 5 to 10 minutes, to get the mobility service agent down. It should push it down successfully, assuming you've provided the proper credentials. Initial replication will take forward and it will be protected from that point forward. Okay, so last part of the cooking show. So let's go to a vault that already has stuff being protected currently. Initial replications happen for multiple machines. So that would be this vault I'm pulling up here. So this vault has 5 or 6 systems in it that are already being protected. Let me go ahead and kill that dialogue here. And so as you can see, as the dashboard renders, you'll see that I've got half a dozen replicated items, and I also have half a dozen recovery plants. So what's interesting about this is that this particular vault is actually protecting both Hyper-V, virtual machine managed Hyper-V servers, VMs, as well as VMware virtual machines. And that's also something important. I can have the vault, my one vault, protect more than one scenario. And that's very common. You may have physical servers, you might have VMware VM, you might have Hyper-V, you might have all three at the same time. So this gives us a capability to consolidate this down to the same vault and the same construct around how we protect them. And so as you can see, as this thing builds out, my replicated items show that I've aptly named these so you can kind of tell. I've got a virtual machine managed set, couple three Hyper-V servers here. And in a moment here, it should show me some of the VMware VMs that I'm protecting as well. And what's interesting about these as these things render is that at this point in time, I can come in here and I can orchestrate planned failovers, unplanned failovers, and test failovers amongst these, right? So these guys are currently showing in protection, right? I've got a Linux box. This guy's protecting across another. These last three are VMware servers. They happen to be, which is pretty interesting, right? So I can come in onesie twosie at a time, and I can say, hey, do a planned failover, unplanned test failover. And it will orchestrate that failover and give me the options of, you know, what recovery points I can go based on the replication policies I put in place for those particular systems. But the real magic is once I've got my architecture established, I've got the vault established, I've got replication policies, I've configured everything, and I've started protecting things. Really the kind of the final last bit is to do what's really magical about our solution, which is let's manifest recovery plans. So for example, I can create one or more recovery plans that essentially bring my automation and my orchestration of what happens during failover. In most cases, you're probably going to have applications that are across many servers, not just one server. And in a lot of cases, there might be issues with, an order of things to happen. So I need my identity servers and my database servers to fail over first and confirm that to be done first. And then along the way, do the middleware servers, the web front ends. And then what's really powerful is this is where I would go in and in between the various groupings of servers, I can have the ability to do automation. So I can do runbook automation to where, hey, when the web servers come up, for example, run this Azure Automation runbook, again, a part of OMS, right? We can hook straight into our recovery plan to say, once they come up successfully, I need to maybe punch holes into the cloud service if it's ASM, or create a public IP address and make sure we allow inbound port 80, for example. So what I'm showing you is, and again, for that's, maybe another time, but essentially you have the ability to integrate with an existing Azure Automation account. And within that Azure Automation account, this is where I can specify my pre-built runbook to do just that. Fix up, stitch up DNS. Maybe there's some configuration files have to change because, this application is very specific and peculiar about when the IP address underneath it changes. So whatever I need to do, if I can script it, I can certainly create a runbook around it and add it as part of my recovery plan versus having to stop and pause and have a human do a manual action, which by the way, we still can do, absolute worst cases. I can come in here and I can say, hey, maybe my action after this group is more of a post-action that needs to be manual. So again, it's up to me, right? I can put a human manual pause, which as you watch the recovery plan execute, instructing you to take action on certain things, such as we see here. So again, I can just do manual action, which isn't very exciting, right? It is what it is. But again, it basically adds a lot of people today, traditional DR planning is a lots and lots of manual action. So if you're still kind of in that world, not ready to script everything, okay, We can still use ASR, but you know, the ultimate goal should be automate anything and everything as possible and as much as you can, so that process you're more confident in it, it's repeatable, testable, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and that's pretty much it. So just so hopefully if I go back here, you can see just to wrap up that new CSPS server I built, it says it's successful. Just to show you what happens when you hit finish, there's two things you're going to be prompted with. One is a passphrase that you can save off in case you need it, in case you have to resurrect a new configuration server or you put a process server underneath it. It needs this unique passphrase to marry that up to the local configuration server. But here's this manage account. So you can do this right after install time, or you can do this at any time thereafter. There's an executable that you can run on the process server. So if I have to come in here, this is where I put in things like my credentials. So for example, I need a root credential to my ESXi server. Maybe that is this. And then once that happens, it'll add. And then I can again add any number of accounts that need to be there. Once that is all added and good to go, if I go back to my vault, again, this is we have to skip back to 004. So let me slide all the way back to 004 here. And I apologize, things were working 10 times faster, and for some reason the portal decided to be a little lazier for my call. So I don't know what happened. So I apologize. But here's that 004 vault. If I go back to look at my site recovery servers, hopefully we will see that we have green for that CSPS server that we just created. Again, we've moved back to where we started with the 004. That's not quite there, brand new server. And there it is. In fact, there's 004 there. And again, you get the picture, but just to kind of, we can go through that breadcrumb getting started, or we can go straight to it, which is the next step we want to do. Notice that this guy has its own process server and master target server for failback. That next, remember, if you recall, the next step for this brand new vault that we just created is, hey, we need to marry this up. Now, the warning I'm getting, it takes, you know, you can force a refresh, but it usually takes 10 or 15 minutes for me adding that account to the configuration server I just baked to synchronize those credentials to the vault. So right now it's saying I don't have any management accounts. And about if I launch this in about 5 or 10 minutes, it will find my credential. So it's basically telling me I can't do anything until I have a credential to use. So that's about it. That's as about as quick of a walkthrough as I can do from almost soup to nuts, right? So creating a brand new vault, creating a new process server, discovering a vCenter server, and all the way to replicating and protecting a you know, replication policies in place, as well as getting your first protection. And then from there, that's half the battle. The other half is, okay, now let's work on recovery plans and doing test failovers and all of that good stuff from the respective of using it as a true DR platform. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'll move back to my content here. And I think I had a couple just yeah, and so these are links I've had before, but right now today, so these are all the public documentation. So the one thing I want to make sure you understand is what I showed you is in fact available to you. It's in public preview. However, unless something's happened in the last hour, the documentation is still pointed to what we have that is not in public preview, right? So if you look at the documentation, yes, we have all the steps very granular, how to step by step, how to set everything I just showed you up, but it's baked on the existing ASM, the current ASR vault construct, not the new stuff I just showed you. That will change very quickly. In fact, it'll probably change the day we GA, which again, we're very close to. Today it's in public preview. So the best way to learn is maybe I have this on the recording, maybe walk through what I just showed you. But again, it's if you follow the breadcrumbs, it's pretty good about leading you down the path to success, if you will. But and when we release, these document links will take you exactly where you need to go, even for the new stuff, just not there yet. And then and so that's about it. So let me do this. I'm going to look through some of the questions. I'm going to start for latest to oldest in case some have already been answered. And I think I saw this flash by a couple of times. It says you are running VMware 6. That's a good question. In fact, in this particular demo environment, I'm in fact not. I'm running this just a basic 5.5. I think it's not even up on release. It's like update release 1 or 2 or whatever, 5 or whatever it is. But it is in fact 5.5. We do support 6.0. We support it now, and we will support it with the GA of the new stuff. Except for there's some things, and we have it documented that it has to, the VMs you protect have to be using 5.5 era features. So anything with vVols and some of the stuff that new awesome 6.0 VMware stuff that's been launched, you have to make sure that none of the storage, et cetera, associated with those VM, at least now, are part of that protection, because we still use 5.5 constructs for that. But we can talk to and discover and protect VMs that are on 6.0 ESX servers, and even to a 6.0 vCenter instance. Were the on-site servers created on Azure? No, they weren't. So again, I walked specifically through, I have VMware VMs, and so we can't do that in Azure, right? Hopefully you guys know that. And by the way, I don't think that's coming anytime soon. But yeah, so I didn't create that. Those were bona fide VMware virtual machines running in my lab on ESX 5.5. Recording will be available probably within the day. So you'll see that at the links I've shared out, and I'll share them out again. Let's see, going up the list here. Is physical to Azure GA ready? Eduardo, it actually is. It is part of physical to Azure. It's the same scenario as VMware VMs to Azure, same construct, same architecture. It's available today with the current ASR vault, and will continue to be available with the new stuff coming out that I just showed you today. Will there be a method to move classic-based protection to ASR-based without having to redo initial replication? John, the answer is yes. It won't happen right at GA. I don't have a timeline to share, but that is absolutely in the plan. So if you already have an established ASM ASR vault doing this stuff, and you don't want to have to completely rebuild and re-replicate, because that is kind of an expensive process, there is a plan to do a migration. It's just we don't have timelines yet, and don't expect it to happen the first day that we GA. Multi-VM is on, and there is only one VM in the protection group. It'll fail. It'll be nice to note that. Oh, that's interesting, John. That's good to know. I've never tested that, because I always test it at least with two. So yeah, I'll pass that back to the product group. Thanks for the tip. And then, is your Windows running? We answered that one. The entire deployment and configuration process available. Is the entire deployment and configuration process available from the CLI for DevOps operation? The answer is no. It's halfway there. So we do have API and PowerShell Cmdlet support for everything I showed you, but strictly right now today, only if you're setting up the vault for Hyper-V VM or VMM Hyper-V VM protection. That is absolutely out there and documented. APIs there, PowerShell Cmdlets there. So we can use command line to do that. We're still waiting, even when we GA what I just showed you through the GUI. So if I want to manipulate the vault and the configuration server construct and all that stuff for VMware, that's coming later this year. It's not there yet, and it won't be there in GA, but it will be here soon after. Version of unified, well, this version unified backup schedules. I could back up 3 times a day, but with DPM, I can only do two. I'm not sure I understand, George, the question. Maybe ping me offline. I'll try to help you out. Physical Azure's there. I was told to pick a vault greater than 60 miles, but not too far, so your recovery will go faster. Yeah, so George, it's always the argument, right? So that's a more phil it gets kind of philosophical, but you want your DR close because of speed of light latency concerns, right? There's no technology can overcome physics, right? So the further away you are, you're going to have to put up millisecond latencies, regardless of how fast it is. But you don't want it too close. 60 miles might be an argument. I've heard people say it's got to be at least 300 miles. In fact, Azure as a design principle. I think they hold to every Azure region is at least, I want to say, 300 miles from each other. And we do that specifically for geo disasters. And so maybe you want to pick that as your disaster plan. It's really up to you and what you're trying to do and really the amount of risk you want to take. It doesn't, there's an, I don't know of a definitive answer other than those points. Okay, so let's see. It takes 6 to 8 months to GA a product after its release in preview. That's not true because we've been in public preview for about a month and we're going to probably get this thing done in mid-May. That would have been true, George, probably in the traditional software package model. But really, anymore today, so when we're talking about Azure services, we've almost divided by 10 the amount of time between private to public preview to release. Now, mileage is going to vary across whatever you're talking about, certainly. Everybody's going to have it's going to be specific to whatever it is. But if it's in general for cloud stuff, it's much, much faster. Okay. I think I'm going up the line here. Unfortunately, the documents. Okay. So David, I heard the same thing internally this morning. Far as I know, we're still in preview. So if you see something, feel free to ping me. I'll give you my email address because I'm curious too to look for. I've heard that now twice. So interesting that maybe there's something going on that I'm not aware about. For at least we've announced it into release. So not sure. Let's see. You have to talk to Einstein. That's right. People that are bigger brains than probably anybody on this call, and especially including myself, about speed of light type stuff. One other bug: VM size can only be have a case open such should hit if you change the compute from G to D. It gives an error that no storage counts. That's interesting, John. I'm not aware of that. In fact, typically I use A and D's. I typically don't protect a G because, well, the G's are huge and they're kind of expensive, and I usually don't have 32 core servers laying around. But yeah, I've not heard that. So if you're working with support, that's the avenue to take. If you run into problems, feel free to ping me offline. And ASR Azure to Azure, yes, it's coming. It's on roadmap. There's nothing. We had a private preview that just ended. Public preview is probably going to be like a summertime timeline thing. I don't have anything more concrete to share with you on that, other than it's absolutely in the roadmap. Private preview is actually just wrapped up, so it's pretty further along. So what we're talking, I think, what Andre is referring to, and I saw the question a few times, was around, hey, this is great, but I want to actually protect my Azure VMs from, say, West US to East US or North Central or something like that. That's absolutely common. So that is absolutely one of the major next evolutions of this as far as recovery services goes, specific to ASR. Okay, content will be available soon. That OMS Fridays, aka link you see here, will send you to my read-only OneDrive that'll have recordings and PowerPoints and stuff. Again, I have a more fanciful Channel 9. If you go to OMS Tech Fridays, so aka.ms/OMS Tech Fridays, you will see there's a link. I've updated the blog entry that will point you to my Channel 9, which this recording, as well as the past four or five I've already have, also live. So maybe for some easier viewing. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. We're at the top of the hour. I really appreciate you guys hanging in and watching what I had to say about the walkthrough. Again, any questions or anything, feel free to reach me. My email is kevin.sullivan@microsoft.com. And that's it. So we'll talk to you in another couple weeks. Thanks.